Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse with you on this fine Monday in the rain, cold and rain and nasty. I thought it was springtime. Where's the warm weather? Anyways, last week we saw some activity in the markets, and we saw, you know, a reason that we may be getting ready to go down. And, you know, I do believe that the next big move is lower, but until they find a reason, it will take a while. And, you know, I think that maybe they found it, and the reason could simply be that, as we have talked about here many times, is that Donald Trump, as much as I respect what he's trying to do and as much as I like him, I think that he is being, you know, sabotaged by his own party as well as the other side. And again, you know, that's one of the issues that has to be concerning to everybody. All right. Now, because think about this, you know, the politicians are very happy screwing the American people. All right. They can talk their nonsense all they want. They can talk their socialistic policies all they want, the right and the left. But at the end of the day, they always end up sitting down, smoking a cigar and figuring out how they're going to screw America, because they have their own set of laws. They live under a different set of laws. And quite frankly, I think it sucks. And I hope that it gets changed, and hopefully we'll get to this point where we can get these jackasses out and put stricter term limits on, so we no longer have the issues to worry about. But I think the first issue here is, I know there's been a call for Paul Ryan's resignation. And should he step down? What do you think? Is he behind part of this? Is he sabotaging part of it? Did he really work that hard to get votes? You know, he was not a fan of Donald Trump before the election. He only became a fan once he won, and then he was kissing his ass. So I don't know. You know, again, I have no information one way or the other. I don't even have an opinion, because I wouldn't really know the difference. But I'm just curious as what some of you out there think. But, you know, will this be... the thing that brings the markets down? All right. And again, we saw a little bit of that volatility Thursday and Friday last week when these markets were kind of whipping up and down quickly. And, you know, with the vote, the no vote. And my point simply is this: something is going to happen at some point, and it may not be this. This may just be, you know, another one of the little bumps in the road. We might start to go up again. But in the meantime, there's going to be something that is going to create an overall problem, and that's going to create the eventual selling of the market. And we don't know what that will be, but we do know it will be something. And at the end of the day, what we do need to know is, be prepared and be ready so that when it does happen, and again, we saw a little bit of a pop in volatility, and that's the key area. So we just want to be prepared for the eventuality of a market that's going to correct. Because one thing that we're not listening to, nobody's listening to the markets. We keep listening to the mopes that spew the crap, telling you that this time is different, that everything's going to change, and that we have nothing to worry about. And only the fear is fear itself. Well, I tell you this, the markets didn't magically change after 200 years. All right. We didn't magically have a new set of markets. We magically did not change people's personalities. And you can bet on it, there will be a correction. And I don't know when it's going to be. And I'm not telling you to get out. I'm not telling you to panic. In fact, if you're an investor, you should either be hedged or just be willing to suffer through the rough times, because there's also good times. And again, in the long term, the markets do go up 9% year over year. But you've got OPEC now talking about something else again, and they're trying to manipulate their markets. And you've got issues in the UK, Theresa May trying to enforce Article 29. And you've got all kinds of things all over the place, yet the market just continued to trumpet along. Notice I got the trumpet along, but anyway, they tend to just try to drift. And, you know, we haven't, you know, although we've been down 6 days in a row and 12 out of 15, in the meantime, we're not even down a total of 3% yet in the market. So how much are we really down? I mean, that's, you know, almost like a blank in a windstorm, right? So we'll see where we go from here and how the markets function. But again, I would suggest to you that there is some sort of correction coming. And again, it's not to fear or panic you. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to understand when it comes and make sure that you're not trying to put in money now that you can't afford. In other words, don't try to squeeze out the last few dollars of the potential rally if you don't have the money that you're going to need it. So if you're going to need to get your money out sooner, then don't invest it in the stock market right now. All right, because even if we go a little bit higher, they're going to go lower at some point here, and you're going to have a better opportunity to buy. But the worst thing that any investor can ever do is to invest money that they're going to need in a short time. Because what will happen is the reason you'll need the money is because either you'll have lost your job or the markets are breaking down or whatever. And, of course, that's the worst time that you want to sell when you really need it. You want to be prepared ahead of time. And based on where we are, you know, if we were down at lows and looking for the market to turn to the rally, I'd say, well, it was a good place to speculate. But this is not a great place to speculate to the long side because, again, odds and probabilities suggest that the market is going to go down. And again, we're not looking for a collapse. I'm not calling for the end of the world. I don't want anybody to ever get that idea. This is just strictly a dollars and cents, short term, 6 months to a year, you know, maybe a tad longer, maybe a tad shorter. I can't tell you. Again, I can't give you the exact. I can just say that it's going to happen. Because no matter how many experts out there try to convince you that this time is different, it's never different. It has never been different. And they can chirp it up on TV all they want. The pundits can go crazy and drooling all over each other, kissing each other's ass, trying to figure out what's next. But at the end of the day, there's no way that the markets are going to change the what they've been like for 200 years. And they're still going to have a correction because the truth of the matter is a correction is healthy for the market. And, you know, if you listen to the experts, the advisors and the brokers on air, remember, Bubba's the only one that has his own money at work in the market, nobody else's. Whereas the advisors and those, they are investing other people's money. So what do they care? If they're wrong, they get a smaller commission, or they get the commission, they lose a customer. They'll get another one. All right. And their best bet is to have you invested in the market. All right. Because that's how they get paid. If you're in cash, they're not getting paid. So don't ever put yourself in a position to believe that they're actually talking in your best interest, just like we talked to you about when these banks make these ridiculous calls. All right. They're trying to spoof you to put you on the other side so they can get your money too. You know, remember, the middle class, everybody's after the middle class. All right. Because they're the softest target. All right. You know, the poor, they don't have any money to begin with other than what they get on entitlements, and that doesn't help anybody. And the rich, they don't want to fight against each other because they're afraid, you know, they might run up against somebody, a bigger bully. So they go to the soft target. It's just the way things are. And I'm just saying to you that remember that the market leaves a footprint, and you should be able to at least identify that footprint and understand and not get caught up with the excitement and the enthusiasm of when a market's have already really 250% and people are telling you that it might go up 500%. And it could go, it's not impossible, but I'll bet against it. And of course I will be, but at the end of the day, probability states that we've moved a little bit too far. And that if you just at a simple math model says that there's probably going to be a little bit of selling, not to mention that there's a lot of things fundamentally starting to show up that don't look as well either. In the meantime, take care of your own self, watch the footprint, put yourself in the best position, and then you won't have to worry about any of this stuff. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show, and of course, you know that LibertyTalk.fm is the place you go to download The Bubba Show every single day, and The Sporting Edge on the weekends, and our brand new hit sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line, new episode up on the site right now. Go check it out. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
All right, boys, follow me, mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the extremely talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report, ex, well, not ex, still a Boilermaker, a graduate. And, of course, they had a little, they had a rough time with Kansas. I thought they'd actually give them a good game. And before I knew it, it was a blowout. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. I know. Well, there were actually, if you just look at the score of the game, it's a little deceiving because I think Purdue was pretty competitive for the certainly the first half and then the first part of the second half. And then, I mean, just Purdue did what Purdue always does. They just, I don't know, lost confidence. And, of course, Kansas was, like, practically on their home court and everybody was wearing blue. Purdue just couldn't pull it out, but I'm proud of them. They made it far and, you know, and I didn't get much sleep. So I'm looking forward to a big nap today.
they did good. I mean, they just had a bad game. So now we've got the other Purdue, which is the healthcare thing. What the heck's going to go on with this thing?
I think they're going to pass it. But this is like, amazing. I mean, the whole thing, and I really should like know more details about what's in the bill, but from what I've read about it, it doesn't seem exactly like it's going to solve the problems that Obamacare has. I mean, there's a few improvements, but I think there needs to be more done with healthcare. Here's President Trump, like, pass it or we're sticking with Obamacare and you're going to have to rue the day, whatever you decide to do. And I think in the end, he's going to convince enough people to come over and vote this thing through. So it's been fascinating to watch. He operates like no other politician I've ever seen.
Well, because he's a businessman and he squeezes them when
he
has to. So now, you know, obviously the biggest problem is in the Senate, right? With all the further right Republicans, right? And
yeah, well, and they'll change it. I mean, I'm sure it'll get changed again. Yeah, it's Washington is, there's a new sheriff in town, no doubt about it.
And it is quite amazing, and it's funny because, you know, I thought, and I think you and I talked about this, is that, yeah, he's going to be great, and he's got, you know, he's a ball of fire guy, works 23 hours a day, and he's always involved, and he's still bitching about the media and all those other things, which is his right. I mean, you know, listen, we have rights in this country. But again, now it's not his own business, and he doesn't have the final say, so he's got to get help. And I thought it was really a shame at the way that things are going to happen. But this is part of politics, which is why the system needs to be fixed. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just, there's no compromise anymore in Washington. And you know, I was having a discussion about this yesterday. We were talking about why everything's just so polarized. And we were kind of blaming the internet a little bit too. Like, you know how social media and Google, I mean, things get moved up on social media and on Google if there's a lot of comments, a lot of clicks, and people gravitate toward controversial things and outrageous things. And this friend of mine said she knows people who say stuff they don't even believe, just to break through the clutter on the internet. And that's the stuff that rises up, and that's the stuff that's polarizing things. And it's just, you know, now you've got Charles Schumer saying he's going to filibuster the Supreme Court nominee, which is ridiculous. And it's just so much of this, and it's exhausting. And honestly, I mean, at some point, I mean, the voters should just, like, vote a lot of these people out and vote in people who get things done and who are in the middle and can actually get things accomplished and solve problems instead of what we're seeing now, which is just a bunch of stalemates.
All right, so I was going to ask you this question, but you kind of answered it, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Is there a bigger asshole in politics than Chuck Schumer?
You know, like I've covered a lot of press conferences. He's known in the New York media for holding a press conference on Sunday mornings when it's a very light news day. He gets a lot of attention on those days. And you know what? I don't agree with him all the time. I do think he's a hard worker. He's got a good work ethic. He does, you know, for the most part, look out for the needs of New York. I've voted for him in the past, but he's gone nuts with this Trump stuff. And I just don't think he's helping. I don't think there's any good reason to vote against Gorsuch besides just being a jerk and wanting to, like, stop Trump. And I think, you know, this is not a good thing. And I'm disappointed that he made that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that I actually thought that Gorsuch did a really nice job. And I respected the fact that he actually fought back on a few items and didn't kiss their ass. And I thought that was pretty interesting. in its own right. And I thought he did a very, very nice job. I thought he was very well prepared. I mean, you know, sitting through 36 hours of questions over 3 days, pretty tough job.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, after like halfway through day one, I would have been like ready to run out of that room. But yeah, 3 days he did it, and obviously knowledgeable about the law. I mean, I just don't think there's anybody that Trump would nominate that Schumer would support. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Nothing. I mean, look, I was sorry to see that Merrick Garland didn't get a better shot. I mean, he should have gotten a shot. Normally he'd have been he'd have been like a Gorsuch. He'd have been a one-time run through right away. But now what is your opinion of Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, saying that she's going to stay for 8 more years? So that she doesn't give up that seat.
I mean,
what's your thought?
How old is she?
1,000.
80s?
1,000.
And she's had cancer, I think, right? I mean, you know, she's the one. I mean, granted, the political environment, well, I wouldn't be surprised if she would be there until she dies. Kennedy, I think, is the one that people expect will retire soon. And once he sees that there's a good person in place that knows the Constitution, and Gorsuch obviously does. So that may be the next opening that we see.
And so I think the Supreme Court should be appointments like they are, but I do not believe they should have lifetime appointments. Have any thought to that?
I haven't thought about it too much. I guess it's just one of those things that you accept as truism. You know, I mean, look, in this, I'm of the opinion that all these institutions and things that we have gotten used to over a generation or two need to be examined and looked at and see if they still are worthy of continuing the way they are. I mean, that goes for everything, like college education and Supreme Court and, you know, even business and the Federal Reserve. I mean, we've gotten used to this stuff, but it doesn't seem to be working like it used to. So I'm up for, you know, a full kind of audit of everything that we do in our society, see what still works and what needs to be changed or gotten rid of.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I always worry about things because, you know, we're just so much over governed. And the real problem, Jane, is we've really lost the free market system in which we were built on. I mean, because if you could think about it, tell me one thing that is totally free market. What's left? It is a total real free market price discovery model.
I don't know. I mean, I used to say like the Chicago Board of Trade, like grain trading was about the only thing, but I'm not even sure that that is that way anymore. But it seemed like that was like true, pure capitalism when I was there in the 90s, like price discovery, which is really what capitalism should be.
I mean, it should be, you know, if you can buy it, and if we can contemplate. Now, in my opinion, there's one thing left, which is the housing, but that's a little bit manipulated because of the interest rate, and that's what affects the price of the house. Mm-hmm. But basically, yep, you want to buy a house, the guys want to sell a house, you guys can meet, and you make your own decisions. But nothing else is really like that. So what is your what's new on tap for the financial podcasting, financial literacy for youngsters? What's going on? What do we got going on?
Okay, so a couple of cool shows coming up. One is a group of friends of mine from New York, from different countries, Latin America, Asia, Africa. We're all going to get together and talk about how money is taught in those cultures. So that may be kind of cool to hear their perspective on this and if there's anything we can learn from it. So that'll be published next week. And then after that, we are talking to Ted Beck. He is the president and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education. He's a consultant to the White House on financial education. He wrote an editorial in the Wall Street Journal called "Our Grandparents Learned Finance in School, Why Can't We?" And so I knew he would be a perfect guest. So we're also talking to him for both of those podcasts coming up by mid-April. So look for those. Ka-ching with Jane King on iTunes and Google Play.
What about that? What about that Bubba guy?
It's what?
What about that Bubba guy? When do you get to come back on again?
I know. Well, you know, I want you back. and we'll get that done.
Okay. Jane King, have a great day. Thank you so much. It's always great to have you on. Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-ching Report. You're the best. Thank you, dear.
Thanks, Todd.
Friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-ching Report, and of course, her and I have the same goal, which is financial literacy for everybody, but especially for kids, because at least they're still teachable at their young, bright age, and we want to make sure that we can help all of them, but according to Help You, which is even why I do the show. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we want to make sure that you download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends, which is also, believe it or not, at libertytalk.fm. And of course, on Liberty Talk, we've got all the stuff that you ever need to check out. In the meantime, check out the brand new episode of Bubba's Bottom Line, now posted at bubbatrading.com. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more and Matt Demeter. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said, Roy,
what's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert of technical analysis. Mr. Demeter, what's up, my man?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
I'm doing great. So we saw, I would call it interesting action last week. There were some opportunities for the markets to get clobbered, but they did come back, but did go lower as in general. And what did you make out of the action last week?
Well, I think it's the beginning of what we were looking for. I mean, we've been looking for a top for a long time, and I think, you know, every index that we've been looking to peak out has peaked out now. And on last week, I think it was Tuesday, the NASDAQ finally hit our target high. So that looks good. So the action we got has been pretty bearish. We've had a good sell-off. Not anything major yet, but I think that's coming. I think we're going to get a little bit more early this week, and then I think we'll see a bounce, and then I think we'll see the downside continue.
So you would be looking to be a seller into that bounce? Would that be what you'd be
getting? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So on this first little leg down, if you can call it that, we covered a lot of our short positions in anticipation of a bounce so that we could reestablish them a little bit higher. The Russell 2000 hit a short-term target low for us. In IWM, I was looking for 132, the high 132s, which we got to. So now I'm looking for, maybe 136s, high 136 area to get short again.
Now, does the end of the quarter, end of the month, does that have any play in with your thinking, or is it just strictly that the charts look like that's what they should do?
That's just from the what the charts look like from my point of view.
Because again, it is, typically the end of a quarter, you might get some window dressing, you might get some things that, of course, these guys want to make sure they make their portfolios look good going into the next quarter. And, typically we do have some sort of a potential bounce off of that. So, and that's one thing that, people do look at. So just curious. And So now I found the action around the healthcare bill interesting, as we didn't really pick up a ton in the VIX, but the VIX did break a little bit to the upside, finding a little bit of resistance, kind of around the, 13, 14 level, and the VXX did bounce a little bit. And on Friday, it was actually in the almost the high 17s and then ended up closing in the high 16s before it was all done. What did you take away from that action?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Once they pulled the bill from a vote, then volatility kind of collapsed because everybody was anticipating that, and then it was sort of off the table. So I think that the way VXX closed, it closed on support. So we'll know right away what it's going to do next. If it breaks any lower, then then it's probably, you know, headed back down to lower levels, and we'll be waiting on it. But what it did on Friday was break some important resistance levels, which mean that eventually it has to go to at least 17. I have about 1780. It's a rising target. If we don't, we have to get the 1780. So otherwise, it can't complete this pattern. So that's sort of my minimum upside target.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I have said, you know, I look at the VIX and I see like a symmetrical triangle. At least that's what I call it. And you know, usually when those things come to the nose, they've got to break one way or the other. And it looks like we're trying to break out to the upside. They tried to break to the downside, but they failed 3 or 4 days in a row. So now it's a question if it does break. I mean, I'm a believer that the markets themselves are dying to sell off, but until they get a legitimate reason to start selling, they're not going to sell off that hard. And you know, again, it won't be economic data, because we know the economic data still sucks, but yet, you know, we continue to have the push up. But it looks like that it could come from, although Trump has made many promises and tried to keep them, unfortunately, one of my worries was that he was going to have trouble with the House and the Senate, not only the other side of the aisle, but his own side. And I think that's starting to play out. And is that showing up in the technicals much now? Is that why you look to see some of the selling here?
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't ever sure what the catalyst would be. It's just that to me, all the indices have all the U.S. indices have hit their targets, and that seems plausible to me. That, you know, the realization that Trump may not be able to, you know, get maybe not anything that he wants to get through. So it sounds like, you know, tax reform is a little more popular. So maybe it'll be able to get that through. But I thought from what I've been hearing, that the healthcare bill was necessary to that process. So I don't know. But I do think that's, you know, if we actually have run up on optimism that Trump's going to get a lot done that's positive, then, you know, there's the opposite reason for selling off.
Right. No, I mean, again, it ties into the technicals, because the technicals look like they're ready to go, and it seems like they need some kind of an effort to get them to bust that one way. But so now, what are you seeing in the VIX futures as far as the commitment of traders? What's it looking like?
That was actually pretty really interesting. Commercials bought a lot going into Tuesday of last week, where the COT cuts off. They bought 13,000 contracts, bringing their total up to about roughly 120,000, which is a huge position. It's massive. It's bigger than it was prior, about 10 or 15,000 contracts larger than it was in May of 2015, when we saw, you know, the last sort of big peak where we sold off more than 10%.
Now, you know, we're looking at a lot of things, and you and I both agreed that the dollar was going to head lower, and the euro was going to head higher, and that has been playing out. Now, it does appear the dollar has stalled just a tad here, but do you expect a rally here, or do you expect it to hold and then continue to fall farther?
Well, I expect, you know, a little bit of a bounce, really, and then to sell off some more. I think, you know, down around 98, I think we'll get a little bit of support. We'll get a bounce, maybe back up to 101, and then from there another sell off. I'm eventually looking for, you know, mid 90s, like 90, high 94s, low 95, something like that. The commercials have not budged at all. They've been heavily short, and it's a concentrated short amongst the four biggest traders, and they have not covered anything on this drop. Usually, the typical pattern with the commercials is, and I'm talking about typically in this case banks. These big banks, they'll cover into weakness and they'll short into strength, which makes sense. You buy low and you sell high. In this case, they haven't taken any of their short position off in the dollar, so they definitely expect the dollar to go lower. So the chart says we should go down to the mid-90s, and the commercials tend to agree.
Well, and I agree. So that's the most important thing, because that's where I've been calling for this to come down. In fact, you know, you and I were talking about it, and you know, it was, well, I think one of the problems you see is that they well bought into this, you know, before the Fed hike. And, you know, normally you would think after a Fed hike, of course, the dollar would be stronger. But of course, when you overprice to begin with, the weakness tends to be weaker than you think. And I think that's kind of what we saw from that action. And, you know, it looks to me like there's a lot of things kind of sitting on edge here, waiting to be pushed off like Humpty Dumpty. You got any thoughts of that?
Yeah, I think emerging markets are pretty stretched to the upside. I think emerging market bonds, which I've been talking about, they, you know, they've been taking their time. I've been talking about a upside target of 115. That's down to maybe the mid 114s, and we're almost there. So I think you know, that'll be one of the things that gets pushed off a ledge.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that at all. I mean, I just think that there's, as you look around, there's just a lot of things that are kind of waiting, and you know, you get these like false starts, and you know, again, I think that, I don't know if you watch much the close on Friday, but the markets are going, it looks like they were going to get creamed at about 3:30, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they turned a dime and they ran all the way back. In fact, the Dow futures rallied 120 points from the bottom in the last, you know, 14 minutes or so. And I just, what did you think of that kind of spike up?
Well, I think, you know, that was just like a response to the healthcare thing. I don't think we made a very solid bottom. We had earlier, and then we broke it. So now that it's broken, I would think we go down a little bit further. I think, you know, we start off this week with a little bit of weakness and then a bounce. And then I think, I think we'll get a bounce, and then I think, you know, we're now in a bear phase. I think we're either in a correction or in a bear market at this point. So we're, we're looking to sell strength every chance we get, basically.
Right. So we're now instead of a buy the dip, we're now in a sell the rally phase. I believe,
yeah,
that would be correct. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw an interesting stat on Bloomberg, which was that price to EBITDA and price to sales ratios right now are approaching the highest levels of 2000. So I hadn't even known that, but fundamentally, that's, you know,
it's an overvalued market, which, yeah, is again another thing that ties into the potential topping here. But this is the Bubba Show. We are with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show's expert, who brings us his technical analysis every single week. And of course, when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. And of course, our brand new, soon to be award winning hit sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line, available at BubbaTrading.com. Make sure you check it out. This is The Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. So, Matt, we've had some interesting things happen, and I think that, you know, for months we were looking for gold to maybe make a down leg, and not that it won't make it now, but it has had it seems to have found a new range of like 1,200 to 1,245, and we've hit this 1,245 level again, and it's starting to curl a little bit. It's been really stagnant the last few days with all the other action going on, and it's really been, you know, very light movement. What are you seeing in gold?
Well, with gold, it's kind of, there's whether we're talking about long term or short term or medium term, I guess. Short term, I think you could certainly go a little bit higher. Long term, I really don't believe we've bottomed. What's interesting in this latest COT report is that the commercials actually they added a little bit of short positions to their gold, and in silver they actually covered some of their shorts into strength, which I don't know if I've seen that in years, that they've actually, you know, silver's run up and they covered. Really strange. We have the 200-day moving average not far overhead in gold. If we pop above that, then you can expect that managed money is going to buy in. Technical traders that follow averages, you know, should pile into gold, and then you'll see commercials adding even more shorts. I think we could get up to, the mid 1300s on this move. I wouldn't be surprised by that, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't buy in necessarily. I don't think this is, you know, the beginning of something much larger. I think it's just I think it's just a bounce before we get another big sell off.
I mean, and that could be sensible too. Again, I don't, you know, it's obviously there's nobody know 100% for sure, but there's obviously your charts are telling you that that's the potential of we look here. So, you know, now they are buying silver. So why is that? What is your take that them covering silver? Is silver a little bit stronger based on your charts? What does it look like?
Well, we get some really weird action out of the physical market. It's public record. JP Morgan is taking delivery on thousands of silver contracts, physical delivery. Supposedly the limit is 1,500 contracts, and they've taken delivery on I think for their own account over 2,000, and for a client it gets up to a total of 3,000. So they've taken almost double what you're supposed to legally. And I don't know. I think maybe some of the other commercials are waking up and they're seeing that, you know, one of their group is, you know, loading up on physical silver.
And I mean, again, I think that, you know, one of the problems we look at, which really isn't your area, but, you know, the wanting to turn this into a cashless society, which gives the banks more freedom to steal is a problem. So I think that might be the reason we're seeing some of these things go on. And then, of course, oil has been really kind of stagnant. I keep waiting for a better bounce to sell oil, and I don't know if it's going to come. What do you think? Are we going to get a bounce on oil to sell, or is it just going to break from here? Because for about the last 5 or 6 days, it's been, you know, tried to rally a couple of times and then just closing, you know, right down there around that, you know, I guess 48, the 47 level, depending on which contract you're looking at.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, looking at May, I'm still looking for, you know, you say 45. There's a minor support around there, and then there's a much stronger support right around 42 and change. So, you know, either of those levels, I'd be looking to actually get long, you know, just as a trade. And then, you know, but I'm like you, I'm bearish. I you know, for the longer term, I want to be short. So yeah, I think we need to get down to those support levels though first before we bounce, and then on that bounce, then we can get short again. But
all right, because I mean I'm looking for 40. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. 42 would be close enough as well, and I mm-hmm. think that I just would expect some sort of a dead cat little bounce here. And of course, you called the bonds for a rally, and all of a sudden they've come, you know, up about 6-7 full points, and I think the TLT has gone up about 5 points or so since you called the bottom there. Now I know originally, and I think that, I know you believe that the long-term bull market in bonds is over. So how much farther can the TLT or the bonds go before they start to turn lower again?
Yeah, this one's tough because it's short-term, medium-term, long-term. I think short-term, we started to go neutral again. I think we've had a little bounce here that's, you know, been good for them, but I think we're going to probably get one more pullback and make a higher low. And then then in the medium term, we should get a larger rally, one that could at least get us back up. I mean, we're at 120 in TLT right now. I think we should get up to at least the, you know, high 120s minimum, you know, in the medium term. And then as we talked about long term, I think, you know, this is actually a bear market. So, you know, we're looking for after we get this medium term rally, and I don't think this is the end of it yet. After we get this medium-term rally, we're going to be looking to get short for the long term again.
All right, and what, do you have an eventual target here?
No, not one yet, because I'm still trying to figure out. I want to line up the indicators and the price targets. I actually have multiple price targets, but I want to, you know, I don't want to, you know, provide a bad one.
Right, no, I got you. And then, of course, you know, you've been playing that cow and interesting, the hogs have really kind of stalled and look like they want to go lower now, and which is kind of where I've been. You've been still a little bit bullish, but cattle has been, in my eyes, I look at cattle as blowing off the last couple of weeks, and I don't see much more room to the upside. But of course, you've got your chart. So what do your charts say?
Well, for cow, it just as a, you know, because it's half and half cattle and hogs, it hit sort of initial resistance on Friday, and Friday or Thursday, I don't remember. But anyway, it's ready to pull back a bit. So we're selling out of our cow position for about a 4% gain, which is fine. I think we'll get a pullback, and then I think there's actually going to be another chance to get long. As far as individually on hogs, I'm you know, more bearish than bullish here. And cattle, I'm not sure if we – I think it might still be in sort of a blow-off phase. I think we need to go a little bit higher before it peaks out. I'm thinking another 5% maybe in cattle.
All right. Now, again, I disagree with that. But again, it doesn't make me right. I certainly, wouldn't fall off my chair if it went up another 5%. But it just doesn't seem to me much more room. And I think that there was a big cash squeeze here, which forced the futures higher. But we'll see how that plays out. And then, look at the grains. You have been bearish soybeans for quite a while. And, of course, soybeans had that big run up. And now they got down. And I kind of said that $10 was a key level. And they just pissed on that. Now they're in the 970s. And it looks to me they're going to the 940s as the next stop. But my bigger concern is I was a fan of wheat and a fan of corn. I know you were bearish corn, but they have both, I think both have now reached like what I would call the critical area. If they don't hold here, they could both go substantially lower. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree that they could both go lower. I'm on board with you on wheat. I think that wheat is of the three is still my most bullish. But the other two I've been bearish. And, right now, just thinking about grains in particular, JJG, the grain ETF, is on support. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see the grain complex bounce as a group. I think your level in soybeans sounds good to me, too. I'm looking at my chart. But after I'd be a seller of that bounce. We haven't come close to, my ultimate target low. In that sense, I would wait. Short term, I wouldn't mind being a buyer, but any bounce I would sell into, and then look for lower lows to occur. Just looking broadly at agriculture, there's that ETF DB. I like the reason I go back and forth with ETFs is because they don't screw up my charts. When I look at cattle, I constantly have to work with these, the changes in pricing when you go from one futures month to the next. But that's why I like ETFs, because they take that mess out of it.
Yeah, but they don't take out the mess that you don't like in USO, though. They have the same problem, which is they do depreciate a little bit, based on the handling, just like they do in USO. So that could be a potential issue.
They do.
As
yeah,
well.
It is a problem. It is a problem, but somehow the chart takes in that into account. It knows about the ETF charts somehow still work for whatever reason for the way my
no, I got you, and I hate to cut it short because you're always obviously my guy, my guru, but unfortunately we're up to the end. This is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Matt, as always, thank you so much for being here.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm lets you download The Bubba Show every single day. And make sure that you check that out, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we'll be back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Turn the noise down. Let this old world.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.